Nick. Hurt Someone Again, WBRT Bardstown. We have Pete in the studio. He's a singer, songwriter, and entertainer, launching his 2013 Can't Kill a Man Born to Hang tour. He launched that in April, and he's on it now, and he's appearing at Xavier's Pub in Bardstown tonight. Pete, how are you doing?
Matthew, great. Thank you so much for having me on your show. So much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Let me read some more of your bio here.
The good stuff.
Yeah, by the way, great press release here. This is really informative stuff.
You've
performed over 30 years with the Chicago punk rock band, The Generics.
Well, 30 years altogether, not with that band. That was one of my earliest bands, right?
You've also written a couple of books, and you were on the ABC reality TV show Wife Swap.
Uh-oh. You found that out? Who said that? Did that print out? That came out in the printer?
Yes,
okay,
right.
I guess I'm caught. Yes, I am. And I hope your lovely female audience will still love me after viewing that. It depends on how you look at it, you know.
Is that on the internet?
They made me be mean. It actually is.
Okay.
You can go to YouTube and... do we have to talk about that? We are talking about it. Too late. Whatever.
It draws people's interest. Like this guy.
Busted. Whenever I come to Kentucky, I get in trouble.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, YouTube, Pete Berwick, the whole episode's up there. And it was great. It was a great opportunity for me. I had a lot of fun. It gave me a chance to showcase what I do, about being a bar singer and a songwriter. And of course, they couldn't help but get me in a chicken suit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I do singing telegrams. That's not really now anymore. But for a while there, I was surviving by doing the occasional singing telegram.
Okay.
Which wasn't a bad gig because, you know, you sing all night in a bar, and you might make anywhere from 50 to 150 bucks, really. I mean, sometimes you don't make anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go out and do a singing telegram for in 10 minutes, I would make 150 bucks.
Nice.
And, you know, before the economy tanked, I was doing quite a bit of them, and it was enough to supplement my my musical habit, my musical career.
Yeah.
Keep me on the road and pay the necessary bills because cash flow is pretty a pretty endangered species in the music business.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So I mean, I wouldn't be too proud to put on a chicken suit now and then. I would just tell people it's not me. I went by the name of Harry Franks or whatever.
Did you do a Valentine? I did a Valentine's telegram one time. So
believe it or not, you would think that would be the busy time, but no, I wouldn't do that many. I guess people don't love each other that much.
That's right.
Here's a box of chocolates. Shut up. Be happy.
All right, well, let's talk about the music, and I want to get your yes or no. You've got your own original style, so when I throw out these artists, I'm not saying that you're emulating them, but you do kind of have an edge to you. Tell me if you've been compared to these artists
before. If I agree with you, or just if I've been compared?
If you've been compared.
Okay.
All right, Bruce Springsteen.
Yes.
Steve Earle.
Yes.
A gritty Bon Jovi.
I can't say you may be a first there, but maybe not. But I can see it.
Okay. I got Devo.
Dude, I'm leaving now. Devo? I was starting to like this guy. My friend Jason Smith, otherwise known as Buckshot George over here, and is Eddie. Can you hear him? If you can hear Jason over here. He's my buddy that hooked me up tonight, Xavier's. But where do you hear Devo?
Just in some parts of the music, I guess, maybe. I like Devo, so...
Whip it good. Do you hear? Okay, we'll carry this on later. Outside. Okay, that's interesting.
I had one more.
That's interesting. I got a mull over this one. Devo. Go ahead, keep going.
I just had one more. Okay. I had the flair of the Stray Cats.
I've been putting that rockabilly. I have some people call me a rockabilly, but I have to shoot that down because you know when you think of rockabilly, the upright bass and
oh yeah,
so yeah. Some of my songs go that way, but most of them don't. You know what I mean? But yeah, I can see that. So you're 3 for 4.
Okay.
The Devo I'm not getting. That's okay. I still love you. You're a great guy.
And of course, it already said it on the press release.
As far as Bruce Springsteen, you know, I'm so tired of him riding my coattails. Tired of him sounding like me. Riding my coattails. You know, it just really gets old.
Yeah.
What does he have that I don't have besides, you know, an audience of millions? That's okay. Yeah, he's not on your radio show right now, man.
No, he's not.
Nuts to him.
He's got a nickname. You need a nickname.
The Boss. Yeah, my nickname is Almost Broke.
That's right. What are you?
I've been called a lot of things. My wife has nicknames for me, but I can't repeat them on your show.
So how would you describe your own music? And what if somebody's going to come out to Xavier's tonight, what are they going to see?
I would say Devo's my biggest influence now. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's called cowpunk. I kind of like ran with that moniker, and a lot of people still haven't heard that term. As far as genre, yeah, roots rock, alternative country. But, you know, the genres, alternative. What does alternative mean anymore?
That's right.
Alternative just means anything that's not in the top 40, really. It's like basically stuff that nobody's heard of. But I call it, to cut to the chase, cowpunk, because I feel there's a, well, you mentioned Devo, maybe that's the punk edge that, is that what we're
talking about? I would say so,
there?
Probably.
Yeah, there's a punk, okay, now I understand, but you could probably also say the Ramones are Sex Pistols, you know what I mean? I think there's more Ramones, in especially my last album, Give It Time. It's really, but okay, I see where you're coming from now. So yeah, there's a punk edge, but there's also a Johnny Cash, and then Springsteen, so it's like you, cowpunk, you know what I mean?
Gotcha.
A little country, a little punk. But it's so much more and so much less.
Mm-hmm. Do people expect that when do people expect that when you come and play? I mean, if they've never heard you before, if they're hearing you for the first time, they what do they think? What is your usual reaction to?
I think usually there's no expectations because, oh, there's a singer here tonight? Oh, man, that means we can't talk. Let's go somewhere else. That's usually the reality. No, but yeah, I mean, people who know me, they're expecting a high energy, almost a dangerous show in some ways, because I kind of walk the edge. I have fun with my audience. I tell stupid jokes. I improv. You know, I don't sit on a stool with a music stand. I stand as if I have a rock band behind me, and I work the room, and I try to see where it goes. Mm-hmm. And that's the fight. It's like, okay, my next song. Sure, I'll tell the story with certain songs and stuff, but I just do my best to be rowdy and to because really when people go to see a singer songwriter, I think usually it's like, oh, there's not a band playing, oh, here's another, you know, singer songwriter singing, you know, sensitive songs about how terrible it is being a singer songwriter. And I try to maybe like give them something more, like, hey, you know, you can see just one guy and maybe it's rowdy, you know what I mean? Because really I'm making up for the fact that there's not three other guys on stage, so I work hard, I sweat a lot. And I try to mix it up, you know. Like, I have no idea how tonight's going to go. I could not tell you. It could totally bomb. It could be the greatest gig I ever had. But I think we're going to have a good night tonight. I really do. Jason's been working hard promoting it. And I think it's going to be a good night.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you've been on this tour since April?
Well, actually, I mean, since I was born. No, but no, actually, technically, I don't know where that came from, really. It started in February. Some smaller runs, like 2-3 day runs, but it was in April, yeah, especially in May, where I was lengthening the legs of my touring. Mm-hmm. And basically, the way I'm not just staying on the road nonstop. I'm basically doing two, I call them legs, runs, whatever, two a month. Mm-hmm. I'll do like a 10-day, you know, South Carolina, Florida, on the way back up, Georgia, Indiana, you know, that kind of thing, and then I'll come home. And I'll do a bunch of local shows because I got my local clubs I play and fan base and whatnot. And then I'll you know, catch up with the dogs, the wife and the kid. Notice I put the dogs first. And take my wife, please. No, she might be listening. I love you, honey. If you're listening, I love you terribly.
The dogs are the first, the first ones that, you know, they greet you, that they're scratching.
And hello, if my lovely wife is listening, Denise, she's been such a, you know, she's put up with so much and being miserably married to me, but that's, yeah. What do they call a, what do they call a musician without a girlfriend or wife? Homeless. No. So yeah, then I'll go out again. I like it that way. I tell you, it just stayed out. I mean, you know, if I was a single guy, maybe, you know, yeah. But with a home and a family. Yeah, so that's no life to just stay out like that, you know. And it's no wonder. I mean, like in the old days when these rock bands would go off for like these year tours. God, you wonder why their marriage doesn't last or why they turn into drug addicts, you know. It's really, it's just no life to stay out that long.
Yeah.
You got to have some kind of money. And it is, it's, look, the road can be fun. I'm having a great time now on your show. This is what it's all about. But in between, there's long stretches of misery. There really are. You know, I'll play a show and whatever I made, hopefully it's enough to cover gas in the next town sometimes. That's how it is. Mm-hmm. And if you got enough left over for a hamburger, you're a rock star, you know. And then it's like, okay, then I'll pull in a rest stop, put the seat back. And really, I sleep more in my car than motels. Although the other night I stayed at a nice motel. It was a three cockroach motel. I told the guy, I said, there's a rat and a cockroach by my bed. You know what he said? He said, tell them to come down to the desk. They're not registered. I'm telling you, Matthew, speaking of, I'm still making myself laugh. Look, that picture's hung sideways. Is that, have you ever had rest stop coffee? Vending machine coffee at a rest stop?
Yeah, I have.
I can't describe the taste, but I will. It's like boiled water with that an inner tube's been soaking in. It's like, you should pay me to drink this stuff. And I got to tell you, I know you want to talk about the music and everything, but there's more important things like how you eat cheaply on the road. I was out in the East Coast. I was on my way to Washington, D.C. to do a show out there. Rumors were that the president was going to come, but he did not show. But anyway, there's a gas station called Sheetz. I'm not cussing. S-H-E-E-T-Z.
Okay.
I kid you not. It's called Sheetz. As in, I don't give but Sheetz, and you can get two hot dogs for $1.
Okay.
Can you believe it? What a lunch. For $1. For $1, I can have a lunch on the road and go for another few hours. Mm-hmm. And I know that's exactly why you had me on your show today, for insightful things.
No,
like
absolutely.
Matthew, I'm going to let you talk now.
Well, I was going to talk more about the tour and
I'm talking about it. Two hot dogs for $1. Vending machine coffee. These are the things I think about. And I did write a novel called The Bar Singer.
Mm-hmm.
Shameless plug. Can I do that?
Absolutely.
PeteBrook.net. I sell all of my shows for $10. On my website, it's only like $11.98, but it's called The Bar Singer's Fiction. It's a nice 450, 500-page novel I wrote, and it's about my life, you know, like what I'm doing now, going mm-hmm. from bar to bar, town to town, you know, just barely getting by, and tearing away the whole facade of, wow, you know, you're on the road, and what fun, and man, I wish I could quit my job and do that. It's like... It's you know, probably 80% misery, 20% fun. So yeah, there is fun, but the misery outweighs the. I really think it does. Uh-huh. Now, when you get back home, I think life is like that. You tend to remember the good,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Like when a loved one dies, who was a total jerk. Well, over the years, yeah, he was a good guy. You know, 10% of this. You just remember the 10%.
Yeah.
So the Bar Singer's about what I'm talking about. You know, vending machine coffee, cheap hot gas station hot dogs. You get to the bar. You have expectations of your name being in lights, you know, and the press is there to greet you and line outside the door. But the reality is you load in, there's nobody there, nobody's going to be there. And then you go to the John and they got your poster hung above the urinal.
And there's no outlets for your you know, to plug in.
What, in the John?
No. for your
well, usually system, there's an know? Outlet. Yeah. Sometimes it's better if there's not. I know, I'm being very negative. It's kind of been a rough trip so far. But don't get me wrong. It's I wouldn't do it if the benefits. It is. I think life should be a risk or not anything at all. Helen mm-hmm. Keller, and you know, famous quote of Helen Keller was, you know, life should be an adventure or nothing. And here's a woman who was deaf, dumb, and blind, and gosh darn it, I amen that, you know, because
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, here I am, an able bodied. At 55, I'm not totally able bodied. I mean, my insurance company only sends me half a calendar, so I'm not the spring chicken. Yeah, Matthew, I went to breakfast this morning. I must be looking my age. I ordered 1 minute oatmeal. The waitress made me pay up front.
That's right.
Yeah, it's nuts. I tell you. So, put it this way, I still chase girls as long as it's downhill. No, I don't chase girls. My wife's listening. If my wife wasn't listening, I still chase girls as long as it's downhill.
Yeah, that's right.
I went to the doctor the other day. He said I look like $1 million in counterfeit. You want to talk about music or you want to tell jokes all day? Whose show is this? Yours or mine?
Well, let's talk about the music. And,
it's about time.
That's right. Well, I mean, you know, somebody who's listening... who's you know, maybe a pragmatist or you know, a realist or something like that, might say, well, if it's 80% misery, why does this guy do this? So what I'm going to ask is what fuels you and what fuels the lyrics in your music?
Yeah, well, the 20% of what fuels me to keep doing. Yeah, and really, that is what fuels my, you know, more than many people. They like my fans and critics. They like my music because it's edgy. And it's not, you know, you are my sunshine. If you're happy, you know, clap your hands. It's just the opposite. I write about, you know, it's a hostile planet we live. It's really a hostile world when you think about it. You know, me personally, that whole thing about, you know, be happy. I always, oh, just be happy. Just be, I don't want to. And what is that? Just be happy. Well, every moment I'm being happy, somebody's buying the farm out there. The little kid's dying of hunger. I mean, all kinds of horrible stuff's going on. You know what I mean? Wars. Mm-hmm. And I cannot wear rose-colored glasses. I've tried it. I know some people do. It's called drugs and alcohol. You know, and yeah, I do my share of drinking, but I mean, I don't drink to escape. Usually I overdrink on the road because it's because everybody's buying them for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes I leave a bar, I got like, you know, a whole six-pack of PBRs, you know, up on the stage. I'm like, thanks, but I can't drink those. I got to drive now, you know. But anyway, I have a tendency to get off track, if your listeners haven't noticed. And God bless you all for that. Thanks for sticking with me. Anybody out there, tech one, two? But no, yeah, I have two emotions, anger and rage, and I think that fuels the songs I write. Somebody once said, you know, they challenged me, Pete, write a positive song. So I wrote a song called Roadkill Blues. That's the closest I came, writing a song about, you know, dead animals on the road.
Yeah.
I just, it's hard for me. It really is.
Yeah.
Hurt someone again, and you're going to play Only Bleeding. But, I mean, that's life, isn't it? Isn't life a soap opera? Isn't it just one drama after another? And, but don't get me wrong. Jason's been listening to my whining all and complaining all. He's stuck with me for 2 days because he's putting me up on his couch. But comedy is tragedy inside out, and it's like, you know, it's like, I don't know what the heck I'm trying to say here. I am positive in the sense that I know where I'm going. I base a lot of my, if you want to talk about happiness, yeah, I love my family. I get very lonely on the road, so I... That to me is proof that I want to get back and so I can argue with my wife again until I leave again.
That's right.
But my wife and I are very romantic. We only argue by candlelight. Anyway, see, I totally forgot where I was going now. Because Matthew held up the tell another joke sign.
That's right.
You know what? What was the question?
We're talking about what fuels your lyrics, but you basically.
Did I answer that at all?
Pretty much.
Like, you know, it's really hard. I have trouble. I'd rather talk about where you can get a cheap hot dog at a gas station. But it's difficult for me because I don't know sometimes. Sometimes it just hits me. Sometimes I'll just pick up the guitar and the song will come out. Sometimes the song is a work in the making.
That's right.
You know, but yeah, I think life. I think I'm maybe one of the I consider myself an outlaw. You know, I'm in that outlaw genre of, and what was the outlaw? What was the old Nashville way was living the life, you know, get six divorces, you know, shoot your gun at your ex-wife. You always miss her, like James Brown or George Jones, mm-hmm. But you shoot your gun at your ex-wife, you get it, you know, you get in trouble with the cops, you know. Of course, I'm not saying that's me. I mean, I am getting in trouble here. I got Kentucky's finest waiting for me when I get out. But no, in other words, the hard life, you're living the life, and life is real. Life is hard. And especially like the old outlaws, you know, they all grew up dirt poor. George Jones, who we just lost, and Johnny and Will and Waylon. Nothing was handed to these guys. They all grew up, you know, dirt farmers, cotton pickers, you know, mm-hmm. And they were the real deal. By the time these guys were putting out records, man, it was real because they were writing about the pain and the sweat and you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And like today, I don't know, today's country artists in Nashville, they're not the same.
No.
Because they're not growing up dirt poor. A lot of them are graduating college and then getting record deals. So I don't really want to get into that, though. I don't want to, you know, I'm going to Nashville tomorrow, so I don't want to sit here and I lived in Nashville for 5 years. So I've earned some right to, I know how the industry works. I'm a pig that won't fly in their eyes,
mm-hmm.
You know, and I learned that. I found that everyone goes to Nashville thinking they're going to be signed the next big thing. But unless you sound or look like Trisha Yearwood, you know, good luck.
Yeah.
You know, I do not sound nor look like Trisha Yearwood. Although if I comb my hair a certain way, I've been mistaken for her.
I wonder if Trisha Yearwood has been compared to Devo.
Did I say Trisha Yearwood? I didn't mean Trisha Yearwood. I meant Taylor Swift.
Oh, okay.
I meant Taylor Swift.
Yeah. I think I think she sounds like Devo, but...
Well, she's married to Garth Brooks, you know.
Trisha Yearwood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Devo.
That's right. All right, well, we're going to play another song. I thought I'd play the title track off this album, Ain't No Train Out of Nashville.
That's a good segue about what I was talking about, Nashville and the politics of it and all.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about this song while we go into
it. Okay, I was working in the car wash, you know, minimum wage in Nashville, waiting to be famous any minute, and the lyrics. And so I was doing that, and I knew the kind of song I wanted to write. And I was sitting outside a publisher's office, and some guy was ahead of me. I was waiting for this publisher to call me in so she could tell me no. And this guy was in there, you know, scraggly guy. You could tell he probably just got off the bus or whatever. He was like, yeah, I could hear him say, yeah, you know, I tell you, there ain't no train. And talking about his, how was your drive? You know, oh, I tell you, there's no train. Ain't no train in Nashville, you know. And I thought, ain't no train in Nashville. So I wrote Ain't No Train Out of Nashville. It's basically a song about how, you know, they throw a key away when you come here. And there ain't no train out of Nashville. You got to take a bus or a car.
Yeah.
And then the song, I had my first success. I was performing it at a club, and they were filming the movie The Thing Called Love, starring River Phoenix. Dermot Mulroney, River Phoenix being the better known name, but Dermot Mulroney, he's been in a lot of movies like Young Guns and whatever, ever. But Dermot Mulroney happened to be sitting in the club. And long story short, he invited me over to his hotel for a couple beers. He was picking my brain. He was really doing the, because he was playing the struggling underdog songwriter. Where River Phoenix was a guy with the record deal. He's geek, gets the girl, you know. And he was picking, I thought it was really cool. He was picking my brain. He was asking me, like you're asking me now, what's it like? Tell me about it. And so he said, I like the song. I want to get in a scene in a movie. And he did. And it was my first success. This is like 92. I'd been in Nashville for a couple years. And man, it was a big deal for me because I saw more money than I ever saw at one time in my life,
mm-hmm.
And it was great. And so that's the story with Ain't No Train Out of Nashville.
Awesome,
yeah,
awesome. Well, cool. Well, thanks for joining us today, and we'll outro with this song here.
Thank you, Matthew.
Going to be at Xavier's Pub tonight in Bardstown, and hope everybody comes out.
Y'all come out. If you come out, I'll let you buy me a beer. I'll allow that. But I have my CDs for sale. They're only $5. And come on up and say hi. You know, it's going to be, we're going to have a lot of fun, and it's only as fun as y'all coming out. I just said y'all. I've been in Kentucky for 2 weeks. I'm saying y'all.
You all say y'all. We say you all.
Okay. Further south, they say y'all, right? You all come out, and we'll have a good time. Matthew, thank you so much for having
Absolutely.
Me on your show.
Appreciate you coming in. Here's the song, Ain't No Train Out of Nashville, Pete Berwick, WBRT, Bardstown.